So tonight I'm going to introduce the theme that we're going to have for this retreat. When we teach retreats at IRC, we like to have a theme. It's not this true at all retreats that you attend in this tradition, but here at IRC, we like to have this a theme that kind of like holds things together. And so maybe I'll start by talking about that, maybe I'll just say the theme is generally the Dharma. You say, well, of course it is, Diana. Can you say a little bit more about it? Well, first maybe I'll say that for me it's noteworthy that the very first teaching that the tradition holds that the Buddha gave was called like turning the wheel of the Dharma. And I love this that I saw recently that a translator had retranslated that title as getting the ball rolling. And I kind of like this idea, right, that we're getting the ball rolling, but it's not just going anywhere. It's going someplace in particular, and it's going in a particular way. But the Dharma is often understood to be the teachings of the Buddha. But also this word, Dhamma, in Pali, Dharma in Sanskrit, but I tend to use the word Dharma like this. It also means like phenomena or quality or state. And when I was studying Pali and learning Pali, I was amazed how often this word Dharma shows up. And we translate it so many different ways. So in this retreat, Anushka and I are going to be looking at this word, but also, like, you know, as part of the Buddha's teachings, we'll be looking at it maybe from like different angles, different frames of references, different emphases. Like, what does this mean when we say the Dharma? And this reminds me that some years ago, I was having some difficulties and I was talking with a teacher, sharing my difficulties, kind of like, you know, I was like, woe is me and the world is ending. And this teacher said, just trust the Dharma. I was like, that sounds nice, but I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, what does that mean to trust the Dharma? And this teacher didn't really give me a concrete answer. And I felt like it was more like an invitation for me to find out what does it mean for me to trust the Dharma. And I would say that now for me, something to like trust the Dharma is something about like being in sync with the world in some kind of way. So to soften and put down the contention that we often have with whatever's happening, this demanding that things be different or wishing that they be different. And to be sure, I am not saying that we should tolerate injustices, oppression, these kinds of things. But is there a way that we can be open to what's happening? Is there a way that we can have some clarity and honesty about what's happening as a way to help us find our way forward? For me, I think that's how I would say, like, trusting the Dharma is like being in sync, but that's also kind of vague. And so we'll explore this in our time together. What does it mean for you? And what was the Buddha pointing to when he started to get the ball rolling? Maybe I'll share another little story. Is that it was the first time I heard any Buddhist teachings was entirely involuntary. I was had signed up for a yoga workshop. I had just discovered yoga. And it was really meaningful for me in a surprising way. I was very much identified with being a research scientist, and that was what my whole world was around. And yoga was, you know, really pushing the boundaries of what a research scientist would do. And at this yoga workshop, the little advertising was that, you know, we would do asana practice, we would do, you know, the different postures, and there'd be some philosophy. I thought, oh, okay. Philosophy sounds interesting. I'll sign up for that. So after we did some postures and, you know, did some yoga practice, then it was time for philosophy, and we were all sitting there, and in walks this person, which I now know was Tibetan monk robes. But I had no idea what that was at the time, but all I knew is this looked like some religious person, and I thought, oh, get me out of here. I just felt like that. This is why I felt I wasn't ready for that. But I was as far away from the door as you could get, and I would have had to like step on all kinds of other people's mats. I thought, okay, well, I guess I'm going to be here. So this person, he started to talk, and he spoke a little bit about the Four Noble Truths. And I felt like my heart crack open and found myself in tears. It just touched me really deeply. Never did I imagine that I would, you know, one day be here giving Dharma talks, but so the Dharma is also something that touches us. It's more than just words. I don't know how to explain it exactly, but Anushka and I will be doing some pointing. And I imagine that you've had this experience, some version of that experience. Otherwise, you wouldn't sign up to sit in silence for a week at a retreat center unless, you know, the Dharma's in your heart in some way, too. So maybe I'll also say that the Dharma in general is associated with this maybe a notion of a truth that you can know for yourself. So as opposed to truth, quote unquote, you know, that is somebody else's truth and here they're going to give it to you and you're supposed to believe it. It's not like a creed we all promise that we will always believe or something like this. It's something that we know for ourselves. So the Buddhist teachings are really pointing to how can we know this for ourselves instead of just hearing something and parroting or adopting it, but instead to explore, investigate, directly see. Some of you know this expression, ehipasiko. The Dhamma is ehipasiko. Translates as come and see. Like an invitation, come and see. And something that I appreciate is that even the Buddha says, come and see me. Come check me out. Come see if I'm walking the talking the walk or walking the talk or whatever it is, any of those. To investigate him. It's an encouragement. So not only the Dharma, but the Buddha. To investigate and find for ourselves. To engage with it. Not something that we just passively receive, but to explore, roll up our sleeves. It'll be a little messy, won't be a straight line. But also that's part of the beauty of it too. I mean, that's part of what makes it so enduring and meaningful for people. is that it touches our hearts. It's not something that we just have to have in our mind some thoughts or views or ideas. So maybe I'll say that one last thing about this, or maybe two things here, is that the teachings, there's also a way in which they have a quality that they're pointing to the ending of dukkha. Many of you know dukkha. It's this word that has this, such a wide range of meanings, from just this mild annoyance to just horrifying difficulties that you wouldn't wish on anybody. This word dukkha has this whole range. And so the Dharma is pointing to the ending of dukkha. Or maybe I can even say the ending of dukkhas. Like, there's so many little things here that are troubling and are difficult. And having this human life, it's not always easy. And you don't need us to tell you that. So there's this well-known verse from the Dhammapada. The Dhammapada is a collection of verses. It's probably the most common Buddhist book. It's been translated like, you know, 20, 25 different translators. But there's this one little verse. It's in four lines. It kind of like summarizes the Dharma. And it goes like this. Doing no evil, engaging in what is skillful, and purifying one's mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. So there's this describing behaviors, doing no evil, engaging in what is skillful, and purifying the mind, working with the mind, cultivating mental states. And so that's what we'll be doing on this retreat. In a moment, we're going to take the refuges and the precepts. Anushka will lead us in that. And we'll be making this commitment to not harm others, not to harm ourselves. We'll be offering meditation instructions as a way to help purify and quiet the mind. And we'll be offering Dharma talks as pointers so that you can investigate and discover the Dharma for yourself. I think I'll end there.